Black Lives Matter Blono tries to turn protests into policy with a sweeping set of demands on police budget cuts, black history education, and more.
The time for talking and waiting, and we're done. Something has to happen, and it has to happen soon.
That's Kaya Jai from Black Lives Matter. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Destin, Fort Walton Beach on Allegiant. The beach is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com. This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org.
It's Monday, June 22nd. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with that sweeping platform of policy demands just announced by the Black Lives Matter Blono Group. They're calling for the Bloomington and Normal City Councils and McLean County Board to decrease overall police budgets 50% by 2023. That would free up millions of dollars, which BLM says it wants reinvested into preventative, supportive, and restorative social services. BLM Blono leadership team member Kaya Jai says a drug user would be less likely to commit theft if he or she had better access to treatment. That, in turn, would mean less need for police.
If we can shift financial resources from the police department to those who are trained and skilled and best able to respond to these specific type of societal issues, and everybody benefits. The police are freed up to do more crime investigation and prevention, and society is being better served in terms of social services. So it's a win-win for everybody.
BLM also demands that Unit 5 and District 87 sever contracts with local police and eliminate school resource officers from the schools. The group also demands that District 87 and Unit 5 require teaching a black history class that focuses on the intersection of underrepresented, marginalized, and oppressed groups. Here's BLM leadership team member Olivia Butts.
That demand is something we heard pop up a lot in these focus groups. We talked to a lot of young people, and we heard over and over, like, we didn't learn black history in school, and we think society would be better for it if we had.
The list of demands was shaped in part by a public meeting of BLM Blono earlier this month at Miller Park. Ajay says the political strategy they'll use to achieve their demands, that's still a work in progress.
We're definitely bringing pressure to bear on all governmental bodies because time is now for action. The time for talking and waiting, and we're done.
You can see the full list of demands at WGLT.org. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There are four new cases of the coronavirus reported yesterday in McLean County. There are now 14 people isolating at home here. No one is hospitalized. A new survey from the National Federation of Independent Businesses found that more than 60% of businesses are concerned about lawsuits stemming from COVID-19. And a McLean County jury has convicted Scotty Allen of murder in the shooting of Juan Nash during an April 2019 party on Orchard Road in Bloomington. That verdict came Friday after 7 hours of deliberation. A Supreme Court scholar at Illinois State University says the court rulings upholding LGBTQ and immigrant rights may have come as a surprise, but she does not think those cases represent an ideological shift on the bench. Associate Professor Megan Leonard tells Eric Stock the common thread in those two cases is they reflect public opinion.
People generally do not think you should be able to be fired for your LGBT status. People generally think that the Dreamers should be able to stay in the U.S. and have these enhanced protections. So in both cases, the outcome that was reached are actually going to be really popular, even if they look to us like a really conservative court sort of taking these liberal stances. Now, how the court got to those outcomes were very different in both of the cases. One, a very clear statement of the rights of the LGBT community, and the other, a much weaker statement on the law and the protection status for the Dreamers.
Could it be a case where the court was seeing how the wind was blowing in these two cases?
Certainly, if you ask some political scientists, they will say yes, that the courts, they are made up of justices who are part of society. And in many ways, there are connections between public opinion and legal outcomes. That being said, do the justices sit down and look at public opinion polls and decide how they're going to decide cases? Absolutely not. They're still relying on legal arguments in order to sort of support the decisions that they make. And in this case, they just kind of happen to come out, I think, on the side of public opinion.
It appears, though, that the court, even going back to segregation, still followed social norms in deciding what they thought was legal, even if they never explicitly said that. Is that still the case, at least perhaps in the subconscious of these justices?
Yeah. In political science, say that, you know, these justices have ideologies and they make decisions based off those ideologies. And those ideologies are ways of thinking about law and legal reasoning. But certainly, right, it comes out in their decision making. It helps drive their decision making. And again, they're not politicians. They are still legal thinkers and legal actors, but their outcomes are certainly political. They're certainly policy. And we saw that for certain this week.
Well, and this is at least the second major ruling in which Chief Justice Roberts has cast a tie-breaking vote as siding with the liberal justices. I guess most famously when he upheld the Affordable Care Act, and that, I guess, similarly was a very narrow ruling in his part. How rare is it for the Chief Justice to be sort of a swing vote, if it's fair to call this justice that?
It is fairly rare for the what we call the median justice, the justice ideologically in the middle, to be the chief. What makes this really interesting is that Chief Justice Roberts has long been outwardly concerned with the legitimacy of the court. He wants the public to trust the court as an institution. And that drives his decision making in a way that the associate justices don't necessarily have to think about. They're less concerned, not necessarily with how the court is viewed, but when you run the court, when you are the face of the court as the Chief Justice is, he has to think about those things. And so you see that in avoiding striking down a major piece of a legislation during the Obama administration, or letting the Trump administration make massive changes without any justification, kind of saying, hey, the court is here, and we're going to move a little slower. We're here to check the other branches. That's still our job. And we want people to trust us as an institution.
And are there other legal cases that could be coming before the court soon that we should look at differently as these newer jurors are now starting to offer a look into their mindset and judicial philosophy?
I would say that this week has been a surprise, but as we get the cases for the rest of the term, cases on abortion, on presidential power and congressional power to investigate the president, there's a case on faithless electors in the Electoral College. I don't see more surprises to come. I see more conservative decisions backed by the five conservative justices, including Chief Justice Roberts. I think here we saw a textualist approach changing Neil Gorsuch's view of the LGBT rights and a presidential administration that couldn't make a strong case affecting two very specific decisions. But as the final cases of the term come out, I think we're going to have a lot fewer surprises and a lot more decisions where the five conservatives vote together opposite the four more liberal justices.
That was ISU Supreme Court scholar Megan Leonard with Eric Stock. Before we let you go, the Bloomington City Council meets tonight at 6. They'll discuss applying for a state grant that would speed up the next phase of a major infrastructure project. And the Normal Town Council meets tonight at 5 for a special meeting focused on a project to redo West College Avenue from Rivian Motorway to White Oak Road. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Destin, Fort Walton Beach on Allegiant. The beach is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.